All right, good morning. My name's Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here at Living Vine. So welcome, glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. That works really well. So today, here's the question. How can learning Jesus help us love one another? How can learning Jesus help us love one another? Now, you guys know I usually jump in and hit the gas, and don't think I won't. But when we do hit the brakes, here's where we end in verse 32. So I actually want to have the end in mind. I actually want you to have the end on your mind right now. So we're going to do a little something different. We're going to soak in verse 32 to start our morning. Verse 32. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another. Let that just soak in. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be gentle with one another. Be sensitive. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Remember how God has forgiven you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let me ask you, who do you need to be kind to right now? Who do you need to be kind to right now? Who are you possibly withholding kindness from right now, today? Who do you need to be tender-hearted with today? Who do you need to forgive today? Who are you possibly withholding forgiveness from? And let's be honest, do you think they deserve it? Let's spin it the other way. Who would you like to receive kindness from? Who would you like to receive kindness from? Who do you wish was tender-hearted towards you? Who would you like to hear the words, "I forgive you," from today? I forgive you. Let's just be honest. What if it just sounded more like, "I release you"? I release you. How free would we all be if that could happen today? How free would we all be if that could just begin to happen today? How much weight would come off your shoulders? How much weight would come off your mind and your heart today? How much would come off your body? You're carrying it right now. Pastor Josh, also Dr. Josh, works on a lot of people, working out a lot of things they're carrying right now because they haven't heard these words. They haven't given these words. I mean, that if you go up before this passage, verse 16 says that we are to build, the church is to build itself up in love, to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And isn't that where life gets sticky? Isn't that pretty much often always where we get stuck? When kindness has run out, when tenderness has run out, when forgiveness has run out, as the lyrics from a song says, pride sticks out its tongue. laughs at the portrait that we've become, stuck in a frame, unable to change. Kindness, tenderness, forgiveness, which is to say love applied without measure. That pretty much unlocks the key to every door, wouldn't you say? Most every door. So back to the question, how does learning Jesus help us love one another? Well, let's dive into this. Let's see. So verse 17, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do," literally the nations, literally everyone else. Everyone else walks like this, in the futility of their mind, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, and here's the key, due to, you may say, on account of, the hardness of their heart. We say it again, due to, all of this is happening because of the hardness of their heart. A hard heart makes the mind dark. That might be the only rhyme I've got today. Let's keep going. A hard heart makes the mind dark because the hardness of their minds, because the hardness of their hearts, their minds were in the dark. When your heart is hard, the lights go out, right? I mean, everybody say amen, okay? Come on. Wives are like, yes. When the heart gets hard, the lights go out. Mine just went out. Now, I'm not dismissing the fact that in this text he's talking about there is a sincere ignorance that they just didn't know much about God. Some of them did not know. But more importantly, they didn't want to know. They didn't want to know the ways of God. They didn't want to know God because of the hardness of their heart. I don't want to hear this. Have you ever said that before? Maybe a time or two in my life. When your heart is hardened, your mind is darkened. When your mind is darkened, futility of the mind doesn't seem futile at the time, does it? You're not, no. When your mind is in the dark, your understanding is darkened. And it's kind of scary what starts making sense. History has a pretty long list of what were we thinking moments. As do I. When understanding is darkened, reacting to impulse seems logical. It's there. I want it. I get it. I have it. Done. When your mind and your understanding is darkened, being alienated from God actually seems like freedom. Being distant from God feels more free. Being distant from God's people feels like, oh, I can breathe now. That's what happens when your mind and your heart are darkened. The lights just go out. You don't see it. So their hearts were hardened. Their minds, their understanding was darkened. Verse 19, Paul keeps going with this imagery. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. You don't become callous overnight. It takes time. It takes repetition. It takes one day at a time. If you've done manual labor, you know, or you're working out, or you're doing something with your hands, you're playing the guitar, slowly over time, your hands build up. I rowed a boat on a river most every day of the year for a season. And let me tell you, my hands got tough as leather. Just trying to protect myself from anything coming on inside. I don't want my skin to break or bleed or anything else. So my hands develop calluses. And you lose touch. So he's saying, man, your hearts are hard and you're callous. You have grown, your mind's got like a thick coat of leather around it. You are hard of heart. You're calloused. You have lost touch. You are no longer sensitive, no longer tender to the ways of God or to God himself. It reminds me of a movie about a pro wrestler. Okay, you know, I'm talking about pro wrestling, you know, the tights coming off the top rope, the fancy stuff, the show. It's this guy is past his prime. His name's Randy. His body is absolutely falling apart. He has a hearing aid in one ear. He's had a heart attack. He keeps fighting, though. He doesn't know any other way. He just keeps fighting. And every fight, the crowd gets smaller. The arena gets smaller. But he still goes after it. He doesn't know any other way. He doesn't know his wife. He doesn't really know his daughter. You just see all the consequences piling up of a guy that just doesn't know any other way. He can't stop. He doesn't know how to stop. Randy is stuck. And he can't see it. And he can't see a way out. The director of this movie asked Bruce Springsteen to write a song for him. So he reads the script and he sends him the lyrics. And here's a part of it. Have you ever seen a scarecrow filled with nothing but dust and weeds? If you've ever seen that scarecrow, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-armed man punching at nothing but the breeze? If you've ever seen a one-armed man, then you've seen me. And he goes on to say, but I bet I can make you smile when the blood hits the floor. Tell me, can you ask for anything more? This is all he's living for. This is all Randy is living for. And guess what? We've all been Randy. We have all been Randy. We've all been thinking, just one more jump off the top rope will satisfy me. And then the next day you realize, just one more jump off the top rope will satisfy me. And then you wake up the next day and you realize, just one more jump off the top rope will satisfy me. And over and over and over. It says they were greedy for what they thought would satisfy them. Filled with nothing but dust and weeds, a one-armed man punching at nothing but the breeze. We were all Randy. We're all Randy. One more chance off the top rope, not realizing we're actually at the end of our rope. We're all Randy, thinking there's this old way is the only way. We're all Randy, deceived and in the dark and unable to see that we've been banking on promises that will never deliver what we hope for. And don't think we're not immune to these temptations, right? We all have our Randy moments, no doubt. Thank God we're free. We're not bound to that. So their hearts were hardened, their minds were darkened, they were callous. So let me ask you, where is your heart hardened right now? Where have you grown callous? And if you feel like you're banging your head against the wall, there's hope. There's truly another way. Let's look at verse 20. When we look at the heart being hardened and the mind and understanding being darkened and being callous, Paul says, but that's not the way you learn Christ. See, there's good news. The old way is not the only way. That's what he's saying. Christ, how you learn Christ is there's a new way, and it's Christ. And he is the truth. It goes on to say, he is the truth. Jesus is the truth. There's not just one way. There's a new way. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey, there is a new way. The old way is not the only way. And in here specifically, he says, Jesus. How have you learned Jesus? He doesn't say, how have you studied about Jesus? How have you studied information and small group content about, not that that's bad, but he's saying, how have you learned Jesus? Jesus, the person. How have you learned Jesus, the person? How do you learn a person? How do you learn a person? You don't just study them. You study everything about them. You study what they do, not just what they do, but why they do what they do, how they do what they do. He is saying this is the new way. It's learning Jesus. How have you learn Jesus? How are you learning Jesus? Tim Mackey puts it like this. Paul is saying that the content of the message, the teaching of Christianity, is Jesus himself. Hear that. It's Jesus himself. It's not a moral philosophy or a life improvement master class. Rather, being a Christian, a Christ follower, means engaging with him personally to learn a new way to be human. That is the new way. And he is the truth. Jesus, the person, is truth. Tim Mackey goes on to say, the root of Christianity is not found in systematic arrangement of concepts. Rather, the truth is the person discovered in knowing and following him. How are you learning Jesus? How are you learning the old way is just the old way, but there's a new way? And one quick glance in context of this, and we see that the people that are following Jesus in the New Testament, the people that are following Jesus, the people that are learning Jesus, they are seeing old things being made new. They are seeing old things being made new. The deaf are now hearing. The lame are now walking. The blind are now seeing. The demon-possessed are now being brought back to themselves. You know, they're like, oh, hey, pretty girl. You want to go to the prom? I mean, like, she's back. I mean, I've been waiting for this. Like, she is normal again. I mean, really, this is happening. The old is being made new. Old things are being made new. All things are being made new. That is what they're seeing right in front of their eyes. The new is being ushered in by the person, Jesus, God in the flesh. And y'all, he's walking around with bolt cutters. Did any of you have friends in high school with bolt cutters? Nobody? You're missing out. That was the guy, man. That was the guy that, when he sees do not enter, he's like, no, there's a way. And then you had that. Okay. Why? I had a, yeah. They're great people. They're great people to have, because when there's no way in, they're like, oh, I've got a way in. Oh, I've got a way in. They may be in prison now, but they're probably running great businesses or preaching sermons. They see a way in. Jesus says, you see the old way. You say no way out. He's like, I see how to set people free. And he's setting them free left and right. He's taking the old and making it new. And you're seeing that they're seeing, as they're learning Jesus, that there's no limit to what he can do. There's absolutely no limit. There's nothing too old that he can't make new. There's nothing too broken, too busted, too tossed out, too down and out, not too high and mighty, not too low down, not too darkened in their unrighteousness, or too darkened in their mind of self-righteousness. Jesus is the truth we need, and he's speaking the truth they need, that there is a new way, and there's no limits to what can be done through Jesus and learning Jesus. He walks up on a friend's tomb late for the healing party. Jesus, if you had gotten here sooner, oh, you think it's too late? Roll the stone away. Now, Jesus, it's been 4 days. Yeah. You think it's too late? He smells. It's going to smell. When that stone rolls away, it's going to stink. Oh, you think I'm afraid of a little smell? And with all the authority of both life and death, Jesus says, and calls him by name, Lazarus, come out. And you don't hear Lazarus say, it's too late. That'd be a funny joke, right? Ha, got jokes on you, Jesus. No, come out. Lazarus, come out. And he comes out, right? He is alive. The old has been made new. Death to life. And as he walks out, he is wrapped and bound in death. He's got the old on. And what does Jesus say to him? Unbind him. Unbind him and let him go. Unbind him. Literally, take off the grave clothes and let him walk. You got to take off the old in order to experience the new. That's what they're seeing as they're learning Jesus and following Jesus. They are seeing him and his ability to take old things and make them new. They're seeing, in order to follow him, in order to learn Jesus, they've got to leave some things behind. They leave their families. They leave their homes. They leave their friends. They've lost friends. They leave the possible inheritance that they could have. They leave their comfort. They leave their security. And on a business day, right in the middle of the business day, Jesus walks up and they drop their nets and they follow him. They're seeing what it's going to take off the old and put on the new, and to learn Jesus, to follow Jesus. Jesus isn't just setting them free. He's not just curing the sick. He's curating their hearts. He's curating their hearts. He's slowly beginning to allow them to trust him as their source of life. He's making a way in the wilderness of their minds. He's birthing rivers of life that are breaking through the hard, sun-baked desert floor of their hearts and minds. So that when it's time to take off the old and put on the new, they're like, man, I can't do this without you. I don't want to do it without you, Jesus. He says, well, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to rise for you. And then I'm going to go see my dad. But I'm not going to leave you alone. Now, here's important. This is important. Hang on with me, okay? So he gives them a helper. He gives them the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, and he says, my Father will send him in my name. He will teach you, hear it, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. And that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes. We see it in Acts chapter 2, and it's an electric encounter, to say the least. And the church is literally birthed out of this. The Holy Spirit is now in them. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in them. His power is radiating. He's active. He is specific. He is moving things specifically. He is opening prison cells and doors. Bolt cutter coming. To send them out, not to just set them free, but to send them with the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's convicting them of sin, while all the while their hearts and their minds are soaring with new life in light of their forgiveness that God has given them. See, the Holy Spirit brings Christ to life for us in our hearts, in our minds. He takes the story you have on your lap right now. He takes that story. He applies it to your point of need. He takes the general that you see and makes it specific. Specific names begin to come to mind when we just soak in one verse. And he searches our hearts and our minds. Who do you need to be kind to? Who do you need to be tender with? Who do you need to forgive? You see, the Holy Spirit turns the lights on. The Holy Spirit helps us learn Jesus so we can love one another. The Holy Spirit blows up the engine of our willpower, blows up the engine of our self-control. Because here's the deal. I can show you this list. We're going to go through it in a minute. And when you see this list, if it's on you, if this rests on you and you alone and your strength and your power to do it, it will always be daunting. It will wreak havoc on your desire to perform for others and for God. That's just the truth. Willpower will power you for a little while. Willpower will power you for the short run, but not the long haul. Willpower might start your engine on this. You might get excited. Names might have come to mind today, and you're like, I can do this. I got this. But it won't make the distance, my friends. You'll get frustrated. You'll get tired. You'll run out. Galatians 5:22 does not say the fruit of your willpower is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Your willpower is the old power, and that power is running out. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the good news is, if you have run out, if that questioning and searching process kind of discouraged you, if you've run out of kindness and tenderness and gentleness and forgiveness, trust me, he hasn't. And he won't. So the imperative we see in this text sounds more like an invitation when you think about it. This is how you've learned Jesus, he says, to put off the old, which belongs to your former manner of life. That seems so dull right now in light of what Jesus can do. To be renewed in your spirit of in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Behold, he says, I am making you new. Take off the old, put on the new. And when the Spirit is powering, when the Holy Spirit breaks through your heart and your mind, the pressure is off. The pressure is not on you. And you are now ready to both receive God's love and give God's love. Learn Jesus. How are you learning Jesus? Learn Jesus. Follow Jesus. Hear me say this. Follow Jesus following people. Say, follow Jesus following people. Follow people that are truly learning Jesus. Follow people that are just, can you imagine Jesus around a fire talking to his friends and how he talks to his friends as they follow him? Can you imagine interacting at that level? Can you imagine being around people that are just saying, hey, I'm learning Christ right now. I am following Christ. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm seeing. That's who we need to be around. That's who softens my heart. I can look around in this room right now, and I'm seeing faces of men that I spend time with who help soften my heart. They tenderize. They help renew my mind. Yes, I'm in Scripture virtually every day. I'm not trying to be holy. I'm just saying I am in Scripture all day. Not all day, but every morning, throughout the day. But that doesn't get it, man. I'm just being honest with you. It's a big start. I got to be around people that are helping me see. I'm around people that are animating the Scripture, bringing it to life, and showing me their story, showing me their life, showing me how they see it, showing me how they live it. That's who I need to be around. That's how my heart is renewed. My mind is renewed. So, as you're learning Jesus, this is what it looks like to put on the old, take off the old and put on the new. As you're learning Jesus, you will see, let's just put this to practice. We'll just walk through this real quick. Let's look at verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you, all right, here's the list. Speak truth with his neighbor, for we're all members one another. So how does Jesus speak truth? Not does he know it. He knows all of it. He knows it. He is it. But how does he speak truth? Notice as you study and you follow Jesus, what you'll see is Jesus doesn't just speak truth the same way to every person. He realizes their uniquenesses. Why? Because there's a tenderness about him. There's an awareness. He's seeing that I'm going to speak one way to you, not a different truth to you, not a different truth to you, but I'm going to speak differently to you than I might to someone else. I might be more straightforward. I might be less straightforward, more reserved. It's not just that you speak truth. It's how you're speaking truth, when you're speaking truth, the attitude of which you bring this truth to bear, that grace is also truth. That anyway, that you see how this gets put to the test? As I'm learning Jesus, I am learning how to speak truth. As I am learning Jesus, when it says be angry and do not sin, I am seeing how does Jesus handle righteous anger? Boy, I need to study that pretty much every day. How does Jesus handle his emotions? How does he handle his anger? What does it mean to be angry and do not sin? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Jesus did not take injustice lightly. He may not have done it like, I don't know if this is actually literal, but what he's saying is take it seriously. Take the injustice seriously, but how do you handle it in a way that's not sinful? It says, give no opportunity to the devil, the slanderer. Your version may say, literally that means he's the slanderer. Think about this. How much does God know about you? Maybe better I said, what does he not know about you? If he came around the fire and your friends were there, would he just blab everything out? He gets on the phone, guess what I know about you? Guess what I know about you? No. He knows everything, but he doesn't share everything. Give no opportunity for the slanderer. I love it when the pirate movies, they're like, give no quarter. That means no mercy. That means fire all the guns. It means when we're learning Jesus, when we're following Jesus, we're learning how to love, and we give the devil less and less space in our life and in our relationships. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work. The bolt cutter. Time to get a good job, a real job, and take care of people's needs. What you'll see when you're learning Jesus, you will understand what generosity is all about. Being generous with not just your time, but your hands, your heart, your money. Being generous is what Jesus was all about. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good and building up, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Sorry, I skipped. I don't have my readers. It's building up as fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How would Jesus take the moment you're in, as you're thinking through it, and give grace to those who hear? How would Jesus speak? What would he say? How would he decide, instead of saying something corrupt, I'm going to build up? Do not grieve the Spirit when you are learning Jesus. When he is melting your heart and renewing your mind, you will hunger for the Spirit. You won't grieve the Spirit. You will hunger for the Spirit. And then I love this one, man. He's just like, just in case, like, let's just keep adding it on. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander just be put away, along with all malice. That's quite a bit. Let's read verse 32 a little differently, though. And when you don't get it right, and when you don't get all that right, that means you're not going to get it all right. You're not going to do all those things as well as Jesus would. You're learning it. You're longing for it. But you're not going to get it all right. But when you don't get it right, you are going to see that Jesus is kind to you. That Jesus is tender-hearted with you. He will walk with you. And that Jesus loves you and he forgives you. Man, if there's anyone in this room who shouldn't be preaching this message today, it's me. God has a funny way of doing this stuff. It just kind of bugs me sometimes, honestly. How patient are you going to be? Because, Lord, if you don't do something now, I've got no message. I've got four other versions of this. Plenty. We could go on for all day, but we're not going to. Don't worry. But I'm like, Lord, what do you need to do here? What work in my heart do you need to do? I mean, I am the one that shouldn't be up here. I'm against the odds, but who bets against the house every time? Jesus. Who goes after the one and leaves the 99? Jesus. Who is kind? Who is tenderhearted? Who forgives? Thank you, Jesus. I am learning you, even as I fail in learning you. I am learning your love. I am learning your kindness. I am learning your forgiveness. I am learning you, and that helps me love one another. That helps me love others. All right. Who do you need to be kind to, tender-hearted, and forgiving? Let's pray. I just want to read words from a song that hit me this week. We need God's kindness. We need his tender heart. We need his forgiveness. We need to learn Jesus and learn that about Jesus so that we can love one another. When I'm lost inside my mind, Lord, sing me the hope I cannot find. When my despair has left me blind, sing me the tune I've left behind. When all the grief pours through my hands and I can't feel anything but shame, when I've forgotten who I am, sing out and give me back my name. Will you sing over me, Lord? Sing over me. Will you sing over me? Sing of the goodness I cannot see. When I sink down beneath the fear, the weight is more than I can bear. Keep singing through, though I cannot hear. Someday I'll sing. I'll sing for you, I swear. Lord, would you sing over us so that we may sing over others? Lord, would you help us to learn you so that we may love one another? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.